I'd like to take my lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you would open your Bibles to the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What do we know about 1 Corinthians chapter 15? What does this chapter talk about? What does the Apostle Paul mention in this chapter? The resurrection. Some people know it as the chapter of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The whole chapter. Because the Apostle Paul talks about what? Talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so what I'd like for us to do this morning is to talk about that and also to remind us that we still, till this day, make memory of what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And also, the Apostle Paul mentions that that this is the gospel. When the apostles began to preach, what did they preach? And we'll talk about that in just a minute. So I'd like to talk about these things here. We probably will not be able to go through the whole chapter verse by verse, but I've kind of broken it into three sections. So let's begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And if you'd like to make a comment, please raise your hand and we'll be more than glad to to let you speak. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, of the 12, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one of born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so be believed. Let's stop there and go back to verse 1. So we know that the Apostle Paul writes this letter to the brethren in Corinth. And he reminds them about the gospel. He reminds them about Jesus. And what were these brethren? Just so we can have an idea as we go through our lesson. What were these brethren doubting? What was their problem? If you read further on in the middle of chapter 15, it gives us an idea of what they were struggling with. The resurrection of the dead. And so the Apostle Paul, this is why he tells them this in these first verses, because they're doubting. What are they doubting? That Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so in those verses, if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then everything that we know, everything that we do is what? Is in vain, is what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, so all this, if there is no resurrection, there is no salvation. Everything that we've done is in vain. And so this is what they're struggling with, is not believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So what the Apostle Paul does in the verses that we just read, he tells them that there is what? There is what? There is witnesses. There is people that have seen Jesus die, Jesus rise from the dead, Jesus buried, and Jesus risen from the dead. And it was important for them to witness these things. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in just a minute. And you know, because we did not see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We did not see his death. But do you believe that he died? Because at the end of this chapter, if we don't believe in the burial, death, and resurrection, then what? What happens then? We are just like the brethren in Corinth. Everything we've done is in what? Is in vain. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across these brethren to see, to understand. And so we see the importance of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to verse 1. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. So the Apostle Paul here in verse 1 is talking to who? Who is he speaking to? To believers. To brethren, to men and women that have already obeyed the gospel. He's writing to them. Verse 2, by which also, he says, you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And so we see here, what I'd like for us to see here in verse 2 is that the Apostle Paul says, that this gospel that he preached to them has what? In verse 2. Save. Has power to what? Has power to save. Now, does that gospel have the same power today? Yes, it does. It's the same gospel that was preached to them that is being preached to us. And so there is power in that gospel. What is gospel? What's another word for gospel? Brother John. Good news. And it is, if gospel is good news, what's the good news about? What is that good news? Okay. And the Apostle Paul will explain it to us here in the next three verses. What the gospel is. What he told them. What they needed to do. To be what? To be saved. Because there is power in the gospel. If we look at Romans chapter 1. If anyone would like to turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. If you'd like to read that verse. And this is also the Apostle Paul writing these words. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Verse 17. Okay. So the Apostle Paul here in Romans says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." That's the gospel. That's the good news that he's preaching about. That's the good news that he is expressing to the brethren here and anyone that is willing to listen. He says, "I am not ashamed of that gospel, for it is what? The power of God unto what? Salvation." Now, the majority in here have obeyed the gospel. And so that power of that gospel that we heard has done what for us? Has saved us. And so we see the power of that gospel that Paul is preaching about. And he says that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? That believe it. So it's not just knowing the gospel, but is believing. And so believing entails what? Not just out of your mouth, but what? What does James talk about when he talks about faith? Faith without works? Yes, sir. Okay. And so what we're saying here then this morning is what? That we have to the way, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory. And what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And so, going back to what comments that were made, and what we said earlier, it's not just about believing, but that belief has to be accompanied by, backed up by what? By our actions. We have to maintain that faith, obedience. And so, can we lose that salvation? Yes. Book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, and 4. Be careful that you fall what? That you not fall short, is what the book of Hebrews tells us. And when I read those verses, it's like I almost made it. I was almost to the finish line, but not quite there. Is that enough for salvation? So we have to maintain our faith. We have to maintain that belief. And this is why, and again, this going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this is why the Apostle Paul reminds us about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power that it has for salvation. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Any more comments? And so we see then here that that gospel that the Apostle Paul is preaching to them has power and power to save. He's going to explain what that gospel is. We just asked the question, what does gospel mean? And Brother John mentioned that it is good news. And this is that good news that we need to, that not only saved us, but also has the power to save those that that may listen and obey. And so this is, let's go into verse 3. And the Apostle Paul is going to tell us what that gospel is. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. So we see the first one there, that Christ did what? He died. Verse 4, and that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. And this is what the Apostle Paul is preaching. This is the gospel. Can we preach the gospel? What's the Great Commission that Jesus told his apostles to go out and do what? Preach the gospel. So it is your obligation, it is my obligation to preach the gospel. Now we know what the gospel is. What do we have to preach? Three things. Why do we preach the resurrection? Why do we preach death, burial, and resurrection? Because Jesus died for us. And so the same way we obeyed, we give those that haven't obeyed the gospel the opportunity to repent and also have that chance of eternity with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we see the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see the power. We see how the Apostle Paul makes us the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not only for us, but for anyone that's willing to obey. Now, what's the importance of, because I think about this, what's the importance of, because in the next verses that we read, verses 5 through 11, the Apostle Paul says that there was witnesses. There was actual witnesses to see that Jesus died and that Jesus was buried and that he rose on the third day. Mark chapter 15 and chapter 16 gives us a little detail about it. And I just mentioned those because those are the ones I read. What happens to Peter when Jesus says that you will deny me how many times? And you read that I read that in Mark. You will have denied me how many times? Three times. Before the rooster crows, twice. And if you read it as he's following from afar, a lady says, hey, I know you. You were with Jesus. He denies it. It happens again. And it happens the third time. So we see that Peter was a witness. He was following Jesus when he was going to be crucified on that cross. So, and again, going back to what I just said, what I think about that these witnesses, because we see it in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. If you were telling a story, and I'll use this as an example. If you were telling a story and you were there, you witnessed this. You might say, well, you know what? There was an accident out here. And, I mean, I saw the person that was hit, got run over. It was a terrible accident. You're a witness. And if you tell me, you know, you tell me with a little bit more detail, with a little bit more, you know, I'm going to believe you. But then that person tells someone else and he says, well, you know what? There was an accident over here, you know, and it was a bad accident. You know, it kind of, the story changes just a little bit. And I'm sure we've seen commercials, you know, where I've seen one where these guys doing construction work and one yells up, hey, you know, the crane is going to be moved. And the guy up there hears something else. He says, hey, we need to build a waterfall or something. That's what ends up happening. But every time a different person changes the story. But we see that these men were witnesses of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so let's go over to Acts chapter 1 to talk about this for just a few minutes. And we read back in Corinthians that there was that Cephas, then Jesus was seen of the 12, and then of 500. Then he was seen of James. And then Paul says that he was seen of him as well. Acts chapter 1. Beginning with verse 1. The former treaties I have, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the gospel, the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive. And this is after the death of Jesus Christ. We see here in Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, that there was witnesses of Jesus Christ after he had died and after when he resurrected. Now, let me ask you this before we continue. How many days was Jesus after he resurrected? How many days was he before he ascended to heaven? 50 days? Okay, let's continue. Anyone else? 40 days. Okay, let's continue. He only missed it by 10. Let's continue, and we'll find the answer here in the book of Acts. Okay, so what Luke is going to do here is going to tell us that there's been witnesses of this Jesus that has resurrected, and that they've seen personally, that they've seen him with their own eyes. After he has died and he has resurrected, and he says, you know, these men have seen him. These people have seen this Jesus. And so let's go with verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Okay, I'm sorry, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many valuable proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from hence. Verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So they were asking this to Jesus. Verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Now, the apostles were thinking, okay, you know, the temple is going to be restored. Everything's going to be back to normal according to the Old Testament. But this was not his intentions, was it? The day of Pentecost was for what? Because it says here in the verses, previous verses, that he was talking to them pertaining to what? The kingdom. And what kingdom is that? The church. And the church begins on what day? If we go to Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost. And so Luke says here in chapter 1 in the verses that we read, there was witnesses. The apostles were witnesses of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, he says, and I was the last one, I'm the least one, you know, because, and he feels that way because he says, I persecuted the church. We see in Acts chapter, I believe it's chapter 8 and 9, what does say about the apostle Paul as he was walking on the way to Damascus? What happens to him? Who appears to him? Jesus Christ. This is what he's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so he was a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this is what, going back to Acts chapter 1, this is what we see here, that there is witnesses. Let's continue to read, because I'd like to read up to verse 10. Let's continue with verse 7, Acts chapter 1, verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So we see here that Jesus is telling them that you will be witnesses. So what does he tell them? You're going to preach that gospel to tell them, hey, I saw this Jesus die. I saw him resurrect. I saw him being buried. And when they opened the tomb, what does scripture say? When they opened the tomb, they rolled a rock over the tomb. And I always remember this. Pat Andrews always used to say this, that when the stone was rolled away, it wasn't for Jesus to get out, but it was for us to see in. Was there a body? Jesus had resurrected. And there was witnesses of his resurrection. verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. We see here the ascension of Jesus Christ. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in the manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So this is what Jesus has done. He came and he suffered and paid the price for our sins. Because we see here Jesus' ascension back into heaven. He says, man, brethren, why do you gaze up? The same Jesus? As you see him? He says, the same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is sitting what? At the right hand of God. And so what Jesus has done, we also read it in John chapter 14. What does he say beginning with verse 1? John chapter 14. I go to prepare what? A place for you. So where I am, you may, Joel's kind of throwing me you may be also. So read John chapter 14 so that, we understand what Jesus has done. So we see here the importance of what? We see the importance of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power that it has for salvation and what he has done for us. So we have to remember this. And also, another thing that we need to also give importance to is every first day of the week, what do we make memory of? What do we do? The Lord's Supper. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians because we're running out of time. But what I wanted to say with them being witnesses, we see it in Acts chapter 2. When Peter and the rest of the apostles say, this Jesus, whom you have crucified, God has made both Lord and Savior. So we see the importance of them being witnesses. Now we believe by what? By faith. We read in Romans chapter 1. Because it's by faith. I wasn't a witness, but I believed that Jesus Christ died. I believe that he suffered on the cross. Yes, sir.
What is his credibility to what happened? And we have to believe by faith what happened that day. And you write about 40 days, and then the church started 10 days after 50 days.
Pentecost, which is 50, yes. going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we talked a little bit about this. Let's touch on verse 24. Because just like we read in Acts chapter 1, that how they saw Jesus ascending into heaven, you will see him coming back. Now, what's the purpose of Jesus coming back? To this earth. Verse 24. Let's read verse 24. And I'm back at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And once again, this is what the resurrection does for us. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all the rule and all the authority and power. What is the kingdom? The church. So the purpose of Jesus coming to this earth, dying for our sins, resurrecting, sitting at the right hand of God, and coming back is for who? For the church. And who is, and Phil talked about this on Wednesday, is he coming back for this building? Now we know that this building is not the church. So if he's coming for his kingdom, he's coming for you, for me, for those of us that have been obedient to God's word. So I'd like to close with the last eight verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what the resurrection also does. And the Apostle Paul talks about this. And we'll just kind of just go over it. He says that if Jesus overcame death, physical death. And I like what, let's go to verse 55. And again, this is what his resurrection has done for us. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, verse 57, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what has he done in these, what does Jesus do for us here according to these verses? What does death do for us? Does it hold you down? Because we have obeyed the gospel, and this is why he turns it in verse 55, he turns it into a question. He says, death, where is thy sting? Death cannot hold us down. Because just like we read in verse 24, Jesus is coming for his kingdom. He's coming for his church. If you're in his kingdom, if you're in his church, guess what death is going to do? Is it going to hold you down? No, it's not. And so this is what Jesus has done for us. This is what his death, burial, and resurrection has done for us. This is what we need to continue to preach, is the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Any comments that anyone might have? Brother Joe, going once, going twice. It is possible to fall. Then that makes the gospel what? And the Apostle Paul used it several. Right? It's all been done in vain. So, but the only one that can hurt you is yourself, is myself. You know, doesn't matter what anyone else says. We obey the gospel. obey God through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes it's our worst enemy is me that keeps us down. So we must continue to be faithful, to obey. Like we mentioned, the book of James talks about faith. He says that faith without works is dead. So let's add to our faith works. You know, a scripture also mentions that when they were telling Jesus, we are children of Abraham. Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, you wouldn't be trying to kill me. But by your actions, you are not children of Abraham. Your father is whom? Your father is the devil, because you're trying to kill me. And so their actions, their faith and their actions don't go together. So we need to make sure that our faith is not in vain. Thank you very much then for for your attention and for your comments.